Hello and welcome, Valley Church. This is awesome. It is starting to get into the season where it gets a little hot in here, but it's cool. I'm really glad you guys are all here. Sadly, my family's not here. Our van, just the battery died or something. It's so sad. My wife texts me a sad picture. All the girls dressed up in their, and they were all frowning and sad looking and just like, oh, our van's broke. So hopefully we'll get that fixed. But tonight we're going to start a new series, and I'm excited for it. It's something Michael and I have been like talking about, working on, praying about, but it's about prayer. And I feel like the best way to intro this is ask you guys a couple questions, very important questions. Have you guys, when was the first time you ever heard the dial-up modem sound? Do you remember that? Anyone remember that? Okay, my dad worked for HP, and I heard that all the time, and it was just like this, and it's like, it was the weirdest sound ever. And I remember hearing that like early in the morning when he'd log in, and it was just bizarre. And it was like, yeah, he was just telling me, this is the way I work, and this is how I communicate with some people at the office. And I'm like, that's cool. That's cool. Who remembers their first cell phone and what it made them feel? Anyone? Wasn't it like, it felt so amazing. It was like, I can go anywhere, and I can talk to anyone at any time. Who had like a, I don't know if anyone remembers before this, like, remember when texting wasn't like unlimited? It was like, cool, I have like 50 texts and then it's a dollar per text. And I'm like, what? I learned that the hard way. So my dad was like, hey, you can't text. We don't have that. And I'm like, what? Okay. How many remember MySpace? Yes. Yeah? Okay. How many remember when Facebook first came out? Yeah? And when, like, I was in college at the time, Concordia, I remember using my Concordia email to get Facebook because it was only for college people at the time or something like that. Okay, who remembers Instagram when that first came out and you got it and you were, like, trying to get all your friends on board with you? And it was like, you're like, hey, like my picture. And you're like, all the borders and stuff, only squares at the time. It was weird. Instagram was weird, but now it's not as cool as TikTok. So, and the last thing I want to mention is video chatting. Remember that when that was cool, and then COVID happened, and now we're like, video chatting is lame, and I don't want to see anyone on a Zoom screen ever again. I think communicating with other people has just gone leaps and bounds, even since like I've been alive, and I haven't been around that long yet. But communicating with God, that's kind of been the exact same for I don't even know how long. And that's still super hard. We haven't like cracked the code on what it means to communicate with God, to pray with God, and make it easy. A quote here by Paul Miller, he's a Bible scholar. He says, it's hard to pray. It's hard enough for many of us to make an honest request to a friend we trust for something we truly need. But when the request gets labeled praying and the friend is termed God, things often get very tangled up. And that's so true. When we know we need something, but when it comes to praying to God, it doesn't come as easy as maybe we think it should. So we're starting this prayer practice, and the hope is that we would come together as a church. And wherever you're at, if you're like an excellent prayer, or you've already taught like on it or something like that, that's awesome. We need you. But if you're kind of like me and you're in the middle where like you know what prayer is about or what it should be about and it seems to be lacking, man, let's all take a collective step forward together as a church and be people that pray. And that's kind of a broad term, but I want us all to be people that pray. I got another quote for you. It's by a guy named D.A. Carson. It says, I doubt if there is any Christian who has not sometimes found it difficult to pray. Just throwing all these praying is hard quotes out you. But when I was growing up, I So Japanese, half my family was Buddhist, half my family Methodist. So I got this weird, like, prayer is just, I didn't even know what it was. But essentially, like, what I understood is I was praying to God. And I would ask things, and I would always end with amen. That is, like, if you ask someone who didn't know anything about prayer, they would be like, yeah, you end with amen. That would be the universal way to end a prayer. And I started eventually going to college, and then I started following Jesus. It was like this crazy transformation in my life. And after that, people told me, do two things. Read the Bible and pray. And I was awful at both of those things. And I still struggle with some of those things today. When I think back to my time in college and being told to go pray and go read the Bible, I'm like, man, over 10 years later, I should be way better at these things. And I still feel like I'm average at best. The only thing I'm a little bit better at now is I understand Christianese and can speak a little bit of Christianese when I pray. I can use some cool words, and that's about it. Another quote I have for you, and the one that really struck me as I was kind of reflecting on my journey with prayer. It says, we today yearn for prayer and hide from prayer. We are attracted to it and repelled by it. We believe prayer is something we should do, even something we want to do, but it seems like a chasm stands between us and actually praying. We experience the agony of prayerlessness. That's Richard Foster. He wrote this book, really good book on prayer, and it really spoke to me because there's this desire to want to be better at prayer, but also this same fear maybe, or just this ability that feels so out of reach, but yet so close at the same time. This prayerlessness is something I think maybe you have experienced at some point in your life. Maybe we've heard even stories about prayer being powerful, being effective, someone getting healed because they dared to pray a huge, crazy prayer to the Lord. Maybe there's even been a time in your life where it was so easy, it felt like the Lord was like literally standing right next to you, his arms were around you, and you were like, man, I can't imagine not praying. But still, prayer is hard. One of the biggest reasons I think I didn't pray is because I don't think I'm very good at it. And that's something when I even talk with people today, they've been following Jesus their whole life. I hear them say, I'm just not very good at it. I would hear other people pray sometimes, and I'm like, holy moly, the silver tongue of prayer, just the words flowing out of their mouth. Like, I feel like Jesus was forming with the words of their mouth as they were praying. And I'm like, wow, why doesn't my prayers, I just mumble and I'm like, and I'm not very good at it. So today, that's what we're going to tackle. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to hopefully conquer this common barrier of feeling inadequate at praying. And we're going to look back at Matthew, which we've already gone over this, but it provides a really good foundation for where we're going and what we want this whole prayer series to be about. So before I dive into that, I just want to define prayer a little bit. The simplest way of saying, that prayer was defined to me is talking with God. I'm sure we've heard that before, and it's not wrong. I think maybe a more complete way is saying communion with God. And as I read more and more about prayer and see it in Scripture, it's talking with God, yes, but it's also listening to the Lord. It's also learning more about who Jesus is. It's also learning about ourselves. It's talking about not just big things, but things kind of in between and small and mundane. And it's where we ask for requests and where we complain. And it's where we discover sometimes where we need to go. So Jesus made that his priority to pray with the Father alone. And he prayed about pretty much everything during his time here on earth. So I'm going to dive into this, but let's commune with the Lord right now and just have a short little prayer. Father, thank you for prayer. The fact that we get to talk to you sometimes seems a little crazy, but Lord, we just pray that we can learn more of what it means to pray with you and conquer this idea that we're not very good at it. Because Lord, you have stuff to say about that in your word. So help us to be people that pray. As we go through your word, lead us and guide us. Allow our hearts and our minds to be open to the things that you have for us. We love you, Jesus, and pray these things in your name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go back to Matthew 6 here. And you're like, oh, we were just in the double digits of Matthew. And now we're in Matthew 6? Oh, we're going backwards. It's okay. We'll only be here for a little bit. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. This is where Jesus tells his disciples about the Lord's Prayer. He talks about prayer real quick, but the thing I want to hone in on before the Lord's Prayer is he says some things kind of about the motivation for prayer and the posture of our heart as we pray. So if you guys want to open up your Bible apps to that and dive in here, Matthew 6, starting in verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Okay, so we start here. And these hypocrites Jesus is talking about, the Pharisees. And we've talked about these guys a lot before. So back in the day, they had set hours for prayer and set times. So they would go out of their way to walk through a public area knowing that, hey, it's going to be prayer o'clock soon here, and I get to be before a ton of people, and they would go into their whole prayer routine, huge words, amazing, like probably dressed up for it, flashy robes and all that stuff, and they would pray in front of everyone. And Jesus says they received the reward. They wanted to be praised by people, and that's what they got. Everyone was like, they are amazing at prayer. And that is what they received. Doesn't that mean prayer in front of other people isn't allowed? I would say most of us, myself even included, aren't like, cool, that is my vice. I can't stop praying in front of other people. That is something I need to like dial back a little bit. Most of us are probably like, if I didn't have to pray in front of people, that's okay. And I'd be fine with life if that's the way it went. But I think what Jesus is really honing in here is that our reasons for prayer matter. Our heart posture as we dive into prayer is something that we need to pay attention to. And my question for us today is, what are our reasons? Why do we go to prayer? Is it to check something off our list? Is it because we know we should and we feel this guilty like desire to do it? Or are we trying to discover who Jesus is? Are we putting before him some sort of request? In verse 6, it says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Jesus has the answer for this. What is the posture of your heart? What is in your heart as you pray? Because he tells you, go be by yourself. Go pray to the Lord alone. There's this thing when you are just you and the Lord alone. Like when I pray in front of other people, this doesn't happen. But when it's just me and the Lord, my motives are revealed to me. The things that are going on in my life are revealed to me. I think that this is something amazing between you and the Lord that happens, but those motives are revealed. And not only that, I call this kind of like, I have the house to myself, I'm in my comfy clothes type attitude. Like when I'm in the house by myself and in my comfy clothes, I just do whatever. No one's watching, I don't care. Like I'll pick my nose, I do gross stuff. I'm by myself, who cares? That's what Jesus is asking of us. He's like, be yourself. Be who you are with me. Don't pretend to be something you're not. Don't do stuff like that. I just want to be with you. I want you to be by yourself. And I want you to focus on the Lord. That is what I feel like Jesus is asking of people here. And we also, when we're around people, we unintentionally or even intentionally put up masks, walls, things to hide who we are or to protect the people in our lives, sometimes for healthy reasons, sometimes for unhealthy reasons. But we do these things because we are scared of what people think of us sometimes. But when it comes to being with the Lord, we need to be fully open. We need to be fully ourselves. That is obviously easier said than done, but when you pray, go and be by yourself. All that wrapped up in there. Verse 7, it says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. So pagans, during this time, followed a bunch of different gods. There's like a laundry list of gods, and they would go, and they'd be like, I got a request. I'm going to just name every single one of these gods, and in hopes that kind of the spaghetti method, you throw it to the wall and see what sticks, hoping one of these things would stick. Be like, oh, I pray to Holly that the Blazers would win. I pray to Maddie that the Blazers would win. I pray to Alex that the Blazers would win. I pray to Tristan that the Blazers would win. You get the point. So they would keep doing this, and they would babble and babble. And not only that, they would keep repeating it over and over and over again. This kind of this monotonous, empty words. They did this with the hopes that it would increase their chances of being heard. But to Jesus, this is like just noise. It's more of that clinging gong type stuff. You don't need a lot of words. You don't even need the right words. You don't need to have your eyes closed. Sometimes I pray with my eyes open. That's kind of weird, right? I don't know. Some people, I make eye contact when I'm praying, and I'm like, yeah, I'm still praying. It's just because we like locked eyes for a couple of seconds doesn't mean anything. You can pray with your eyes open. You don't even need prayer hands. I don't know like why this is a thing. Is this an emoji of a high five or prayer hands? You be the judge. But we don't need a lot of these weird standards, expectations sometimes that we put on ourselves when we go to prayer, because the Lord is listening. The Lord is listening. You don't need to do some like crazy stuff to make the Lord listen. He is always there. He is always listening. And again, sometimes it feels like he's not there, but he is, and he is listening. And in verse 8, he ends with, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And this is like maybe used out of context sometimes, like, oh, the Lord knows me, I don't need to pray, so he already knows the stuff I need. People say that all the time, but man, the thing I think that can be taken away is the Lord knows you. The Lord knows you so deeply and intimately. The Lord knows what's in your heart, your deepest desires, your greatest fears. And it's similar to the way, like, I became a father 5 years ago, over 5 years ago now, when Junie was born. And one of the craziest things about being a dad is, like, knowing pretty much what they're going to ask before they get to you. I know when they wake up from the nap, they want to watch a show. They want a snack. And they look at me with eyes, and I'm like, snack and show. Okay, fine, I'll give it to you. And I know these things about them. I know that they want them. And that's kind of similar with the Lord. He knows exactly what you want. But are we going to ask? Are we going to go to him? not as like the boss, but as a father. Because maybe I'm like, maybe speaking for myself here completely, maybe you have a similar experience, but sometimes when I'm praying, I feel like I'm giving bad news to the Lord, and I'm like, so God, you're not gonna believe this, but I don't even know if I wanna say this. And I'm like, kinda get like ashamed of the things I'm gonna say, but the Lord already knows. And maybe, I don't like, kinda getting a little bit back to like the babbling and talking myself in circles, but I feel like if I've been babbling too long and talking with so many requests, I I don't wanna ask that. I feel like I'm asking too much of the Lord. Are we really asking too much of the creator of the universe? Maybe you're similar to me in this too, but I've had only good experience with bosses in my life, but for some reason when it comes to the Lord, I feel like I'm always asking for like a big raise or something like that, so I get a little nervous when I'm asking for something that I really care about. I don't know if that's the same with you, but man, from this verse I know God loves spending time with his children and hearing from them. I'm not a better father than the Lord, and if I know what Junie wants, man, the Lord knows way more what we want, what we need, what will help us. So, we've already talked about these verses before. I could talk about them way more, but to keep it a little succinct and short, those are kind of our foundation for moving forward. It's easy to overcomplicate prayer, but for us today, I think Richard Foster in his book calls it simple prayer. And simple prayer is just being completely yourself, exactly where you are at in life. And that means praying to the Lord about the big things, obviously, like, I need this job. I'm gonna lose the house if I don't get this job. My friend's battling this illness, to, hey, I got laundry to do today, Lord. And I know this sounds mundane, but I need to figure out what Netflix show to dive into tonight. There's nothing that is off limits. Exactly where you are at, talking about exactly what you're doing, exactly who you are doing all your activities with, and most importantly, with the Lord, with God. Simple prayer, being completely yourself, exactly where you are at in life with God. He explains it this way with this quote. He says, simple prayer involves ordinary people bringing ordinary concerns to a loving and compassionate Father. There's no pretense in simple prayer. We do not pretend to be more holy, more pure, or more saintly than we actually are. We do not try to conceal our conflicting and contradictory motives from God or ourselves. And in this posture, we pour our heart to the God who is greater than our heart and who knows all things. This idea of simple prayer is like, it's nothing new. There's been different versions of it throughout history and stuff like that, but this idea that you can be completely yourself, if I had known more of that when I was first learning how to pray, I think I would have viewed prayer a little differently, less of a chore and more like an opportunity to ignite a relationship with the Lord. We see it in the Psalms, especially like David, just crazy what he wrote down. And what is actually, if you read the words of the Psalms, you're like, wow, this guy was freaking honest. Like he, in Psalm 3, I'm just paraphrasing here a little bit. He's talking with God about how he has a lot of enemies. And he's talking about how all his enemies say that God is not going to deliver him. David then is like, Lord, I want you to break their jaws and break their teeth. Like, super real. Like, that is David being who he is, completely himself before the Lord, and like exactly where he is. In Psalm 51, he even agonizes over the sin of killing a man and committing adultery. These raw emotions and words before the Lord. In Jeremiah 27, and then in verse 18, this whole chapter, Jeremiah is just basically lamenting to the Lord. He says in verse 7, "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me." And he continues to say, "Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame?" He's complaining to the Lord about the Lord. How much more real does it get? He's like, "I am being ridiculed for following you, Lord. What are you going to do about it? Everyone's making fun of me. Why was I ever born?" What crazy things to declare to God. Nothing is off limits in our prayers to the Lord. Complete honesty with God is all he wants from us, to be completely who we are, where we are at with him. So when we think about what we can pray about, obviously the boring, the mundane, going to the grocery store, but sometimes explaining these kind of like conflicting thoughts that we have. Sometimes we have so much to do, but we're also overwhelmed, anxious, depressed. God is able to help us think through these things and talk through these things with us. Maybe some of you have been hurt in a relationship and you don't know, like, talking it through with God, saying, "Do I repair this? Or is this something I need to leave behind? I need to separate myself from?" Maybe it's how you're dealing with health problems and it seems never ending and you're desperate for relief, but you don't know if God is going to heal you or not. Talking to him about that. I have conversations with a lot of people, and this is one that I feel like a lot of people pray and have a tough time with, like, in their own minds, but this idea of being alone, but the thought of close relationships are scary. Wanting to be close with people, but so scared all at the same time. Praying that through with the Lord, these huge things that we are going through in our minds. And the best thing is, simple prayer doesn't require us to be good at prayer. That's probably the most important thing. As I look through the Word, as I read through this book and a mountain of other books, we don't have to be good at prayer. Prayer is kind of like a muscle that we work, and it gets easier sometimes, and sometimes there's like certain aspects of it that become easier in certain moments, but it is a muscle that we got to work, and we got to get comfortable with using, because this is like one of the main ways God reveals himself to his people is through prayer, through time in the Word and through prayer. Be yourself where you are at with God. I have talked about my girls already a bunch. Juniper, magnolia, and cedar. Trees, they're beautiful. I love hearing them talk, and we had bean and cheese burritos. Magnolia calls them beans, cheese, burritos, and it's hilarious. She says burritos wrong, beans, cheese, burritos, and it's adorable, and I love hearing it. Juniper tells me about her favorite parts of the day all the time. If you weren't here for Easter, the bounce house was a smashing success, and she can't stop talking about it. She swears that thing made her fly, and hearing her talk about stuff like that, I love it. And she's just talking to me about bouncing in a bounce house. Cedar has just started, like, kind of, okay, maybe if you've never been a parent, this doesn't make sense to you, but you swear every time dad type, I swear she says dada to me. It's like, yes, she probably doesn't if I'm being honest, but I love hearing my kid's voice. And that's the thing I want to instill in all of us tonight too, is that for all of us, we're not a burden to God. We aren't some voice that he's like, I'll get to you later. He's listening. He's there. He cares about who you are, what you're up to, and he wants to hear it from you. So let's be people that pray. Let's be people that go to the Lord about anything and everything, being completely ourselves. So Valley Church, let's commit to pray, but to simple prayer. Maybe once a week. If you haven't had a good rhythm of prayer or whatever, and you just want to start, even once a week, that is the step forward that I'm talking about. Maybe for some of you, it's like 3 times a week. Maybe you're like, I pray for like 2 seconds at a time. Like, go to 10 seconds. I don't know. But let's take steps forward. Let's take steps forward in pursuing the Lord in prayer. And again, it's this kind of muscle that we develop as we pray. Certain aspects of it get easier and easier. So I want to leave you with this one quote. It's by C.S. Lewis, another cool author. He might have written some books you know. He says, "Lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us." And so I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray, like, honestly, as a guy who is trying to follow Jesus the best he can. And I would ask you do the same as I pray. And as we go into this time of worship, I just want us to be before the Lord. And again, not what ought to be in us, but what truly is in us. So Lord, we just pray now. We pray first that we would want to pray. Lord, I pray that I want to pray. Sometimes it's easy to dismiss it, to think, man, I should really do that work over there or work on even this sermon. But Lord, help us to be a people that pray. And Lord, right now, just want to leave a moment for all of us to just be quiet before you and maybe say a real quick, short prayer about where we're at in our journey with prayer. Maybe we're not doing so well, or maybe we're seasoned prayers. But either way, Lord, I just pray that we can be honest before you now. So we'll just give you that time. So again, Lord, we just pray, help us to be people that pray. You are amazing. You are a God who cares so much about us, and you want to hear from us. So Lord, we love you, and thank you for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.